Our first scripture passage comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35. Listen now for God's word. The prophets write, saying, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not be afraid. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless will sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but there the redeemed shall walk. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." In the words of Mary from Luke chapter 1, Mary's song of praise, as she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. He has remembered them in his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And from the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, James writes to fellow followers of Christ, saying, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the later rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. My friends, the joyful experiences that we look forward to at Christmas time are often a journey, a trip, an odyssey away. That has almost always been the case for me at Christmas time. When I was a kid, Christmas was celebrated a 12-hour journey from my home. Over the Appalachian Mountains and through Pennsylvania to grandmother's house we'd go. As a kid, I didn't think too much about that trip. I would just get into the family minivan in my designated spot in the way back corner. And the next thing I knew, we were in New Jersey. We were there. Now that I'm the dad and the primary driver of my family, I understand better the challenges, the costs, the obstacles, and the barriers that stand between me, my family, and that joyful Christmas experience that we're looking forward to every year at Grandma and Grandpa's house, which for our family is now a 12-hour journey to Michigan, to Grand Rapids. The goal is the comfort and the warmth of my parents' carpeted condo in suburban Grand Rapids. It is the familiar and nostalgic Christmas lights and snowman ornaments that my parents put on their fake Christmas tree every year. The same tree, the same ornaments, the same lights. It is the simple comfort food of the season. It's putting the kids to bed and playing card games It is the presents and the cookies. The goal is joy and peace and love and goodness. But the journey, each year I wonder how the journey will go. Over the mountains and across Ohio to grandmother's house we go. And what will the journey be like? Will there be snow in the mountains on Highway 80? What will the traffic be like outside of Detroit and Lansing? Will the children have enough patience to sit in their car seats the whole time? Will our aging minivan, our precious beloved minivan, will it make yet another year's journey back and forth? Our passage from Isaiah is also about a journey towards joy. Isaiah is writing to a bunch of would-be travelers to encourage them to be hopeful before a long and seemingly impossible journey that stands between them and a joyful experience. Isaiah's audience had good reason to be skeptical about this potential journey. They were exiles, living far from home in the land of Babylon. Their capital city of Jerusalem had been crushed and destroyed by the armies of Babylon, and that same army had then taken them and carried them far, far, far away from home. When Isaiah spoke to them, they were in mournful exile. Between them and the joy of a homecoming stood a vast and a terrible desert. As I told the Bible study on Tuesday morning, joy may have meant getting back to Jerusalem, but there were two aspects of that journey towards joy which made that trip seem impossible to Isaiah's audience. The first aspect of that journey was the desert itself. Between exile and joy stood an impossibly harsh wilderness. It had mountains, it had valleys, it lacked resources like food and water. It was the home to dangerous animals. The army had carried them into exile. The army had provided them with protection and guidance and food and water along the way. And the exiles were aware that on their own, they would be in bad shape. How would they find the way? How would they get the resources they needed? Who would provide them the protection? If the path of the desert wasn't harsh enough, the people also looked at themselves and they said, these aging and damaged bodies cannot make this journey. They looked at the condition of their lives. They were blind and deaf. They could not see the path or listen for directions. Their hands were tired and weak. They could not carry the supplies they would need. Their knees were feeble. They could not walk that incredibly hard and long distance, and their voices were mute. Even if they made it to Jerusalem, they wouldn't be able to sing a song of joy anyhow. So I pointed out these issues on Tuesday during Bible study. Someone chimed in and said, deaf, blind, and lame knees, that sounds like us. We all chuckled. But it is true that it's not hard to relate to the situation of those exiles in Babylon. From time to time, or for long stretches and chapters of our lives, the destination of joy seems way too far away, and getting there, making it to that experience of joy, seems like it would take a journey that is beyond what we can imagine or manage. The pathway between us and joy is littered with obstacles. There are all the difficulties that have come due to COVID-19. Sickness, canceled plans, disappointments of all kinds. We turn on the news and we just see tragedies and divisions and war. We open our emails and see bad news. There are the sorrows of our personal losses. It's Christmas time when we're supposed to be joyful, but the holidays also deepen the pain of loss and grief that comes when a loved one has passed away. And many of us are grappling with grief from the recent death of loved ones. Loss can certainly feel like a great desert stretching out between us and a hoped-for experience of joy. If the pathway weren't hard enough, we also look at the condition of our lives and we see we've got stuffed-up ears, blurry vision, and our voices don't feel too much like singing. We can't see the way forward. We aren't hearing too much direction, and so we feel stuck in one place. Our hands are weak, our knees are feeble, our hearts don't feel strong enough within us. It was to a people just like this, whom God sent the prophet Isaiah with a word of incredible hope and encouragement. God sent a word of encouragement, a word of hope for a coming salvation to the prophet Isaiah. And my friends, God still speaks to us through these good and these powerful words. To the prophet, God said, "Tell them this, I am the God of creation. I turned the wilderness of nothing into the stars and the planets. I took nothingness, and I made rainforests and coral reefs, and I made you in my image. I am the God who gathered together the waters and the seas of lakes and rivers. I brought forth the streams. I am the God who made the Garden of Eden and put humanity there to live in its joyful abundance. I am the God of the Exodus. When my people were in need, when they were slaves and abused, I heard their cries, and I opened a pathway for them. I defeated their opponents. I parted the waters of the sea. I led them through the wilderness. When they were hungry, I gave them bread from heaven. When they were thirsty, I brought forth water even from the rocks. When they were weak and in danger, I gave them strength, and I brought them through to safety." To the prophet Isaiah, God says, "Tell them this, I am the God of your creation, and I will also be the God of your salvation. The path looks dangerous and unpassable, but I am the way. You don't feel ready for the journey, but I am the great healer. I am the God, I am your God, and I will bring you to a place of joy. In your time of need, I will come to you, bringing you life so that you may have it in abundance. I will lower the mountains. I will fill the valleys. I will make straight the crooked paths. I will make the wilderness an oasis. I will break forth streams even from the deserts of your sorrows. I will bind up the brokenhearted. I will strengthen the weak hands and the feeble knees. I will wipe the tears from your eyes and clear your vision so that you will see a pathway forward. And I will give you light for your feet and a lamp for your path, so that you will see and not be lost in the darkness. You doubt if your tongues could ever sing joyful songs again, but I tell you this, I am the God of salvation, and if I need to, I would make the rocks and the hills sing songs of praise. God says, tell them this. You look at your lives and you see the challenges that you face, and I see them too. But the good news is that I can make a way where there is no way. When light seems to have been defeated by darkness, and when life seems to have been swallowed by death, still I bring forth life and light. God says, I am the way, and I am the great healer. So do not let your hearts be troubled, but believe in me. My friends, we worship and we serve a God who can take us on a journey towards joy. And we worship and serve a God who sent Jesus Christ into this world to open that pathway and to make us ready for the journey. When I was a kid traveling in the back of the family minivan towards the joy of Christmas at my grandmother's house, my parents would often make that drive straight through the night. They did this to make the trip easier for us kids. After a few hours of driving on that 12-hour journey, me and my brothers, we would fall asleep, and the next thing we knew, the journey would be over, and we'd be having the joyful reunion that would come at my grandmother's house. Riding in the back of the family minivan, I would prop my head up against the freezing cold window as we drove along that darkened highway, and I would look up at the stars in the sky, and I would look out at the hills and the valleys and the plains, and here and there I would see a house lit up with Christmas lights or a Christmas tree shining through a window. Each little pocket of light in that darkness would remind me of the destination to which we were headed. Each little cluster of twinkling lights would touch me. It would fill my heart with hope. Each home was putting forth light in that darkness, it would give my heart a foretaste of the joy that was ahead of me, that was still ahead on the journey. That house right there is full of light and warmth. There is a family there and they're celebrating Christmas, and soon I will be at my grandmother's house and soon I will be celebrating Christmas as well. Those lit up houses, those pockets of hope and light, they were foretastes of the joy along the way. Over the river and through the woods. So it is for us, my friends, as we journey with God towards the full joy of everlasting life and eternal salvation. God has promised to bring us to that experience of everlasting joy and salvation. One day, God will do away with death and darkness forever. One day, God has promised to finally and fully wipe every tear from our eyes. One day, God has promised to be with us and to be for us an everlasting source of life and light. And along the way, along the journey towards that experience of joy and salvation, as God leads us and guides us along the way, God makes us ready and able for each step along the way. On that journey, God gives us foretastes of joy, foretastes of the full banquet of joy that is yet still to come. Each moment in our lives, each moment of communion and reunion, moments of light and grace, celebrations with friends and family and neighbors, experiences of love and grace in this life, they are pockets of hope and they are foretastes of joy. And so may God be with us on this journey towards joy. Amen.